Good evening, everyone. Hi, Ron. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Welcome to our Spirit Matters guests and the Vaishnava Sena guests. So we present you a collaborative evening. On the mercy of Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, who has been practicing Bhakti Yoga for 46 years. That's a very long time. That's probably much more than double my own age. So much mercy and blessings in the area. So keep your eyes peeled and make sure to mention on the mercy. And Maharaj is world renowned for being able to present the pastimes of Lord Krishna in such a heart-touching way that I'm not going to speak too much about it, because as they say, the proof is in the pudding. So thank you, Maharaj, and welcome in
the pudding. The proof is in the malva pudding. That's what I say. But the kirtan was just so nice. I thought maybe you should just have a kirtan. Anyway, some other time, I guess. Yes, okay, devotees, friends. Let's see how to do this. Slightly tricky. Well, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Srinathai Vaipachandra ki. Sri Krishna book ki. All of you ki. Well, this is a Krishna book evening, right? And we're going to have a look at a particular pastime of Lord Krishna. And I think that to do it according to the concept of it being a Krishna book evening, I think we should actually read a paragraph or something from the Krishna book. But before, let us sort of set the scene first. Let us set the scene. What I thought we could discuss collaboratively, I say, as Basanti Devi Dasi instructed. What do you mean actually by... Where's she gone? Oh, she collaboratively left. But let us just say that, to start off with, what I thought we could discuss was the pastime of the subduing of the Kaliya serpent. What do you think? Is that okay? Because it's nice, it's interesting. So let's do that. I was trying to remember what we discussed last time in October. What was it?
We did the ghost, the who demon?
The howl.
The howl.
Okay. And some others, that's just really short. Oh, really? Okay. All right, so here we go, devotees. Please repeat after me. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So yes, the subduing of the snake demon Kaliya, it's a very important pastime of Lord Krishna, and it's described elaborately in the 10th canto, in the Krishna book and 10th canto. She went back to the town, and an interesting little sort of side point, but we'll also have a look at it more towards the end, is that one of our great acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has informed us, explained that the different demons who Krishna encountered as described in Srimad Bhagavatam and the Krishna book, in Vrindavan particularly, they represent different anathas. Anatha, well, artha means something useful, helpful in your whatever you're doing. Anatha means something useless, or even worse than useless, something which is like directly detrimental, in this case to your progress in Krishna consciousness. And we're not going to look at all the demons and the anathas they represent, but we can just mention here that Kaliya represents, it's sort of like a version of envy. Snakes, of course, are famous for being kind of nasty, yeah, like intolerant types of creatures. According to numerous of our acharyas, and particularly Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's only one other living entity who is nastier, more envious than a snake, than snakes. What is that? Okay, no, he knows everything. No.
I'm talking about myself.
No. Anyone? What about a wasp? What do you think of that? Do you like that idea? Well, I'm sorry. The only living entity who's more envious and sort of nastily aggressive than a snake is a human being. But that doesn't include the devotees. You're all really nice. So then Kaliya represents a sort of a particular part of envy. There's another snake demon described in the 10th canto and in the Krishna book, whose name is Agasura. Aga means sinful. And Asura, his name is Agasura. Sinful, and Asura means demon. Imagine having a name like that. Yes, what is your name, please? Oh, well, my name is Sinful Demon. Nice to meet you. So Agasura also represents envy, but in a little broader sense. This Kaliya serpent represents envy, particularly in the context of poisoning the hearts of devotees or people. Poisoning the hearts, particularly of devotees, with poisonous talk about other devotees. You know, that juicy gossip. Did you hear? No, please tell me. That sort of thing. Right. So that's a point we'll look at in due course when we get to the end of the actual pastime. About this pastime. Well, in this pastime, there is the second most the second most like manifestation, shall we say, of transcendental separation from Krishna. The most separation is displayed and manifest in the pastime of Krishna leaving Vrindavan. Yes. But second most is this Kaliya Leela. And I think it'll become a little apparent as we go through why. Yes. Separation, you know what they say? Separation makes the heart grow fonder. Have you heard that one before? Yeah. But then, you know, there's another one, what is it? Out of sight, out of mind. Welcome to, you know, English language, English culture. Which is it? But in Krishna consciousness, it's separation makes the heart grow fonder, actually. Not out of sight, out of mind. All right, so this pastime begins then on the appearance day of Lord Balaram. It's an interesting little point that, you know, a lot of these, of course we know when Krishna appeared. We know when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and, you know, a few, not so many, but a few other things, you know. But quite a few of these pastimes, we don't really know when they happened. I mean, in terms of the particular day. But this one, we know. It happened on the appearance day of Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram was not there. Mention will be made of that as we go through the pastime. He was not present. He was at home having a birthday party with his mother, Rohini. And it's interesting, perhaps, in certain respects, that on that day, Krishna and the other cowherd boys did not stay back to participate in the birthday party. Well, anyway, you can just think about that. But that's what happened. Balaram was at home. Therefore, when the encounter with Kaliya occurred, he was just not there at all. He was back in the village. Yes. And his not being there complicated the situation, because Balaram is the older brother, and the older brother is taken to be the representative of the father, and in the absence of the father, not just when the father dies, but just when the father happens to be elsewhere, the elder brother is taken to be like a type of manifestation of the father, means really quite authoritative. And Lord Balaram was like that. Lord Balaram, his character was, he was quite authoritative. And he was not frightened to sort of, what would you say, sort out Krishna. If he felt Krishna needed to be sorted out and straightened out. Like in the pastime of the lifting of Govardhan Hill, then Krishna's holding the hill. All the Brijbasis are standing around him, encircling him, including the gopis. And everyone is just looking at Krishna. And Krishna's just looking at all of them. And Balaram was looking at Krishna too. But then Krishna, as he's looking over all the different groups of devotees of different types, Krishna saw the gopis. And when Krishna saw the gopis, he became affected. And he's holding the hill with the little finger of his left hand, but he started shaking when he saw the gopis. He started shaking, and his left hand and little finger started shaking, and Govardhan Hill started shaking, and it was a bit of a panic. But Balaram, being authoritative and also highly intelligent, he's known as the crest jewel of the intelligent, Balaram, seeing Krishna looking at the gopis and becoming a little sort of dizzy or something, Balaram gave him an older brotherly look. Well, I don't know, so maybe something like that. And Krishna saw that, and he realized, oh, Balaram understands what's going on. So he pulled himself together. So the relationship is like that. It's really that, I mean, that it's a whole thing in itself, the relationship between Krishna and Balaram. But in this case, Balaram was at home having a birthday party. And off went Krishna and the cowherd boys, and off they went, Krishna and the cowherd boys, and the cows. Krishna at this point is herding the cows. Up until just shortly before that, he was herding the calves, the little ones. But now he's herding the cows. And they came down to the banks of the Yamuna. You know, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Yamuna and how it flows and where it flows and how it flows past the town of Vrindavan. But there's a place that's called Kaliyagat, and this is where the pastime happened. Generally, the river now, it shifted out a few hundred meters, and it only comes through the ghat. Ghat meaning bathing area when there's a flood. Yes, so they came down to that place, and everyone suddenly felt thirsty, just like that. And everyone, the cow, including the cows, or particularly, anyway, including cows and the cowherd boys, they all ran down to the water and drank to their heart's content, and devotees and friends, they all collapsed and died. That was it. That was the end. The cowherd boys and cows. Yes. Because Kaliya had poisoned the waters of the Yamuna at that point. In fact, at that time, at that point in the Yamuna, by what's called Kaliyagat nowadays, there was a lake extending out for a few kilometers. When you go up, there's some vantage points you can go up, like by the Madan Mohan Temple, you can go up and you can look out across the whole area. And you can see how there was a lake before. You can see it's sort of a natural kind of impression or indentation in the land there, going out from Kaliyagat. So there was this big lake, and it was poisonous. And all the cowherd boys and cows, they drank the water, and died just on the spot, just like that, all of them simultaneously. And of course, when Krishna saw that, Krishna became very distressed and actually very angry, but first of all distressed. And I wanted to just read a couple of things here from, before I read from the Krishna book, we're going to read a little from there. This is now actually from Gopal Champu of Srila Jiva Goswami. Very amazing literature. In-depth elaborations on the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. So he says, when Krishna saw this happen, and now everyone is just on the ground, just like that, in the space of a couple of seconds, then Jiva Goswami says, with his heart melting, Krishna glanced at all the boys and cows. His lips became moist and his eyes filled with tears of great regret. The streams of tears falling on earth like drops. The streams of tears falling on earth like drops of nectar revived the boys. But those who were not immediately in front of him did not regain consciousness immediately, since he wanted to see each person personally. And try to think about that. These pastimes and relationships, these relationships, they're very deep. And they're very beautiful. And there's such just so much affection, so much heart in them. It's truly amazing. So yes, so Krishna revived the boys and the cows. Their eyes, so this is now about the boys when they revived, their eyes filled with tears. Their bodies became motionless and they lost consciousness. Their attempts at communicating became repeatedly useless. What is happiness? What is suffering? They remained without moving. They could not give each other up for a long time, even for a moment. In that condition, there arose in Krishna intense emotion. Previously, Krishna, endowed with beauty, had been eager to kill the snake living in the water, who gave sorrow to the moving and non-moving beings on the shores of the river. But at that time, he remained silent out of shyness in front of the snake's wives. But now, unable to tolerate the approach of death to the cowherd boys and cows, he became most angry. Yes. Okay. Anyway, try, you know, as we're reciting all of this, try to just forget about everything else. Forget about work, today, tomorrow. Forget about financial things, family things. Just forget. Let your mind, tell your mind, you've been working so hard, giving me lots of good advice. Take a break. Take a holiday. And just try to absorb this. Try to become like a sponge. And just let everything go in and just keep going in and just become situated inside. So, let's see then, where are we? So yes, as we read, Jiva Goswami said, Krishna became very angry that who has polluted the waters of my Yamuna? Who has tried to kill my cowherd boys and cows? Who is this person? And the desire to not just kill, but just destroy, annihilate, obliterate this demon. So now then, let's read. Let's see here. A little bit from the Krishna book. Right. So this is now the Krishna book chapter 16. Krishna, who advented himself just to kill all undesirable elements in the world, immediately climbed up into a big kadamba tree on the bank of the Yamuna. The kadamba is a tree bearing round yellow flowers that is generally seen only in the Vrindavan area. After climbing to the top of the tree, he tightened his belt cloth as wrestlers do before they start fighting. And slapping his arms just like a wrestler, jumped into the midst of the poisonous lake. I could just mention, I think it's worth mentioning, it's just a nice little point. Srila Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami is one of the six Goswamis. Very, the greatest associates of Lord Chaitanya, basically. And Sanatan Goswami has given amazing commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is truly amazing. Plus, he's written Brihad Bhagavatamrita, some of you may have read it, in which this pastime is elaborately described. Really elaborately. And he makes a very interesting point that, yes, Krishna, he's extremely angry. And he climbs just a little bit up the kadamba tree. I mean, you didn't climb really up it. Just a little bit. And then out onto one big branch, which was extending across over the Yamuna. And as we read, he tightened his, not exactly belt, but a cloth, which was kind of acting as a belt around his waist. He tightened it as wrestlers do before they start fighting. And then Sanatan Goswami says, Krishna then slapped his arms and made a funny noise. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. Do you? Not really. Oh, you do? I can tell. You know, devotees at this stage, I think it's important just for us to create the mood and sort of enter into the pastime. I think it's important that someone demonstrate this. Mahesh, did you just get volunteered? Okay, no. Come on, Mahesh. Would anyone be kind enough to please demonstrate. A lady can do it too. You're too conservative, aren't you? Are you Gujarati? Yeah? Oh, that's why. Too conservative. Anyway, I think I get the impression that you know what I'm talking about. So that's what happens. First of all, he tightens his belt like, you know, pop, tough guy. And then he didn't just go. He made a funny noise. Oh, I thought Shalabhand was going to. He's too senior. It should be one of the young ones. And then he jumped in. Anyway, we'll leave that with you. You can sort that out in your minds. So Krishna jumped in. And when Krishna jumped in, there was a tsunami which went out into this lake, which is at least a kilometer or some kilometers, a few, wide. This massive tsunami, giant wave. And Kaliya, he was out about several hundred meters, or even maybe a kilometer. He was out a little distance into the lake. And he heard the splash. He heard just a monstrous splash. And then he saw, then he's looking around thinking, who's the rascal who jumped into my lake? And the tsunami hit him. Yeah. And just about knocked him out. So, but you might ask the question, when little Krishna, you know, Krishna is not old, he's like, I don't know, 6 years old, seven at the very most, maybe just six, a little boy. And he jumped in, and first of all, there's this loud splashing sound. And then this tsunami. How could it be? How could it be? Because Krishna's just, you know, a six-year-old or seven-year-old, something like this, just a child. How could it be? Well, the answer, devotees, is that Krishna, even though he appears outwardly to be a little boy, Krishna is everything. And everything is within Krishna. The example, of course, the proof even, is when Krishna was accused of eating dirt. You know that pastime? And Mother Yashoda came and told him, you open your mouth, my boy. And he had to open his mouth. And she looked in his mouth to see, is there some dirt here? Has he been eating dirt? And she saw the universe, planets, and she saw this planet, and she saw herself, and she saw Krishna in Krishna's mouth. Hari Bol. Yes. Because even though Krishna looks like a little boy, and you know, there's so many little children, but still he remains the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And still everything is within him. So you can imagine, if everything landed in a lake, bang, it would be quite a tsunami, wouldn't it? Yeah? So that's what happened. That is what happened. So Krishna jumped in and swam out. And yeah, Krishna just confronted Kaliya out, maybe 500, some hundreds of meters out into that lake. And Krishna just went right up to him to catch him and battle with him. But devotees, you know what happened? Kaliya grabbed Krishna in his coils. He was a sort of, you know, like a cross between a cobra. He had hood or even hoods, but also a python that he would just wind himself around whoever he wanted to. So Kaliya wound himself around Krishna, and Krishna became apparently stuck, caught, and unable to move. And Krishna, devotees, Krishna stayed like that for hours, apparently completely immobilized. Can you imagine? Well, we can't actually really properly imagine the feelings of the cowherd boys and the cows and the other animals. And would you believe the trees, how they felt, because they're all people, they're all devotees, even the plants. They're not just some plants which just growing there somewhere. And now, if you want to hear something really interesting, I think you should fasten your seatbelts, perhaps. Different acharyas, different of our acharyas, give different elaborations on what happened. One elaboration, well, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, listen to this. The Lord became apparently fearful and stunned in order to encourage Kaliya. Alternatively, he may have been thinking, oh Kaliya, you may at first go ahead and bite us, you will, and envelop me, but later on I will show you my strength. And even Srila Prabhupada, his explanation of that phenomenon, Krishna being held by Kaliya and just immobilized for a good few hours. Prabhupada takes it that, you know, that it's an act of aggression on the part of Kaliya, which, you know, it seems to be pretty sort of obviously. However, devotees, listen to this. This is Sanatan Goswami's perspective. According to my perception, Kaliya's biting the Lord should be understood as his heartily kissing the Lord's limbs, and his covering him with his snake's body should be understood as his firmly embracing all the Lord's limbs. Therefore, when one particular verse says, with anger, it means as if with anger, but actually it is with pure love. Therefore, the Lord is about to show him great mercy. And Krishna's appearing stunned is because the Lord is stunned in the ecstasy of being embraced by him with great love. Because Kaliya, it's a bit of a long story. You know, in Krishna consciousness, we have many long stories, and this is one of them. But Kaliya, in his previous life, was a devotee. He was a devotee. And let me just try and find the description here if I can. Yeah, right. In, let's see. At the beginning of the creation, he was a sage named Vedashira, who was cursed for not allowing the sage Ashvashira to meditate in his ashram. Vedashira had an ashram. And all these different devotees and sadhus and wandering mendicants would just appear on his doorstep and say, "Here we are. We want to stay." And he couldn't refuse them. But he didn't like it. He became disturbed, these people sort of taking advantage of him. And so he would get kind of very grumpy about it, although he wouldn't stop them. But when this Ashvashira came to meditate in his ashram, then Vedashira, he sort of said, "Well, if you must do it, I suppose you can." And therefore, Ashvashira said, "You are angry for no reason. You hiss just like a snake. Become a snake." But then he blessed him that the Supreme Lord, in that lifetime, would place his lotus feet on his head. So then Vedashira took birth in the first generation of great snakes to appear in the universe. And he had been living there in that lake for thousands and millions of years, actually. So he was a devotee. He had been a devotee. And his wives, now as Kaliya the serpent, they were devotees. And if you read the Bhagavatam or the Krishna book, you'll see that towards the end of this pastime, they offer very nice prayers to Krishna on behalf of their husband. "Please, you know, go easy on our husband." So, and then he contacted Krishna. And when he contacted Krishna, his bhakti from before was aroused. At least this is Sanatana Goswami. Prabhupada has, and our other acharyas have different perspectives, frankly. So, let's see. Listen to this. This is Sanatana Goswami. "Standing by the shore, the cows, bulls, calves, and other domestic animals from the village, as well as all the wild animals from all the forests of Vrajamandala, they all cry, fixing their eyes on Krishna's face and screaming in agony. Crying pitifully, the birds flew over the lake and dived into the waters. The trees and other plants became dry and withered. Many great calamities happened. Then an old man ran to Vraja village, crying and terribly calling out. He described what had happened." So this old man, he ran back to the village where the birthday party was going on. And life was just generally going on. And he raised the alarm that Krishna has been caught by this terrible serpent. "Where's Nanda Maharaj? Where is Balaram? Someone please do something before it's too late." So then they all started running down towards the Yamuna. How did they know what path to follow to go right to that place where everything was happening? because they could have run a bit further down or a bit further up the Yamuna very easily. How did they know to just run to that place just like that? Because Krishna's footprints were there. Krishna, of course, when they walked out and when they walk out every day, he goes in front of the cows, with the cowherd boys, but in front. If he doesn't go in front, if he stays behind, the cows will not move. Yeah, they'll stay with Krishna. But when, so he goes in front, and then they'll follow him. And there were hundreds of thousands of cows, big, hefty cows. And little Krishna, you know, he walked along, his little footprints are there, he's only 6 or 7 years old. You would think that the cows would have just walked over his footprints and everything would have just become, you know, that would have been that. But no, Krishna's footprints were there because every living entity in Vraja treasures Krishna and treasures his footprints. So therefore, they would always walk around Krishna's footprints. And even if a leaf fell down onto his foot, onto a footprint, the animals would lift it off to preserve the footprints of Krishna. So in this way, they ran down. First of all, Balaram tried to stop them because Balaram, you know, he's sharp. He's together. He is just a pretty amazing person. And he understood what's going on. And he could see that now they're panicking, like total panic. So first of all, he tried to pacify them. And Sananda Goswami says that Balaram ran out in front of them shouting, "No, no, it's a lie, it's a lie. Please don't become anxious. We all know how powerful my younger brother Krishna is. Mother Rohini, you please stay here and prepare something for his lunch and we'll be back shortly." She stayed back. She was the only one, because she has a relationship with Balaram. So she stayed back. Everyone else ran. They ran. Sananda Goswami says, they became like running corpses. Yeah. Somehow they made it to the bank of the Yamuna. And Lord Balaram's with them. And Lord Balaram, he looks out and he sees Krishna motionless, held by Kaliya. And Balaram, just under his breath, he said, "Listen, brother. Listen, bro. Listen, bhai. You want to play with a snake? You want to play with a snake? Why do you play with this mundane, petty Kaliya? You want to play with a snake? Play with me in my form as Ananta Shesh. You want to play with a snake?" And Balaram, he knows it's just another one of Krishna's pastimes. But the other residents of Vrindavan, they don't understand that. And they're convinced he's dying. He's just going to die. And so the bridge busies, they thought, if he's going to die, let us die with him. So they all started entering the Yamuna and, you know, starting to go out in that direction. Lord Balaram understanding the situation very clearly. He wanted somehow to help them understand that everything was all right. There's no need to panic because this is Krishna. And there's just some mundane snake. And it's just some leela. But, interesting, Lord Balaram appreciates the Brijbasis so much. And he appreciates their love for Krishna, which in some cases is greater than his own. And he felt it would be wrong to disturb their love by just telling them, listen, relax, you know, cool down, sit down, have a cup of herbal tea, and, you know, it's going to work out. Relax. But what he did, Lord Balaram did a very interesting thing. He entered the water and he started stopping the Brijbasis. Some of them he stopped by, physically, he held them back. Some of them he stopped by calling out to them, no, no, don't do that, just wait, just hold on. And others he stopped just by glancing at them. Yeah. And while he was doing this, he was mildly smiling, trying to sort of project the mood that, you know, don't panic so much, without actually just telling them. And the Brijbasis were wondering, why is Balaram smiling? What's so funny? What's so good here? So then the Brijbasis entering the river, Balaram stopping them, but then entering the river quicker and more of them, eventually Balaram couldn't stop them. Balaram couldn't stop them. So, Lord Balaram, seeing his younger brother in that state, could not remain peaceful. Crying in the agony of love, he lamented again and again, his cries breaking wood and stone. In a moment he fainted, as Nanda and Yashoda had already done. Then Balaram, let's see, Balaram says, Balaram then calls out to Krishna, oh Krishna, Krishna, these people are not your associates in Vaikuntha. They're not your monkey associates. They're not the Yadavas. They are the people of Vraja. You are their only life and soul. Even though they have spiritual bodies, they're going to die. Lord, I have no power to save them. They're now lifeless. Merciful Krishna, only friend of the people of Vraja, please give up this pastime, or your gentle heart will become filled with grief. So Balaram called out to Krishna like that, and Krishna stopped. Krishna broke out from the grip of Kaliya. And Krishna went, jumped up onto the, Kaliya had a hundred or hundreds of heads, hoods. Krishna started dancing, and he called the gopis to dance with him on the heads of Kaliya. And if any of you or many of you are familiar with Indian classical dancing, you would know what is Kathak. You know what is Kathak? Puja? You do? Can you do it? I was going to ask you to demonstrate. Kathak is the style of dancing which at least involves at some points stamping very hard and very rapidly on the ground. You must have seen it. Can you do it? No. Okay. Yeah, this is bang, 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 bang. So Krishna was dancing like that on the heads of Kaliya, jumping from one head to another and with the gopis. And this smashed Kaliya. And Kaliya started to die. But as he died, he realized what was the situation. And then he was too destroyed and beaten to say anything. But within his mind, he just thought, "My Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours." He couldn't say it. He was too far gone. But just, "My Lord, I'm yours, I'm yours." He surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna, being omniscient, understood that this was happening. And Krishna stopped dancing. Yes. And so Kaliya survived. And one of our great acharyas, Madhvacharya, somewhere I have it. Madhvacharya says that Kaliya, that someone, let's see, here it is. One who simply thinks with devotion the punishment which the Supreme Lord is giving me now is actually mercy on me. You catch it? One who thinks with devotion that this punishment from the Lord is actually his mercy, that person becomes pious. But for those who continue, even after punishment from the Lord, to envy him, their attitude is the reason for their continuing to fail to recognize him. And hopefully this is not too sort of subtle and esoteric, but it's very deep. So Kaliya surrendered to Krishna and he became a devotee. However, you may know that Krishna, even though Kaliya surrendered, he became a devotee, fully surrendered to Krishna. But Krishna banished him from Vraja. Krishna kicked him out of Vrindavan and told him, "Go, find somewhere else." Even though he was a devotee now. Yes. And they say that Kaliya went to Fiji. And indeed, Prabhupada talked about that, actually. And our main ISKCON temple in Fiji, there's a few, I believe, is the Kaliya Krishna temple. And Indra Jivana Maharaj went there to find Kaliya. He didn't find him. But he's talked of going back to try again. Anyway, the thing is this is now we're going to address this point about the anatha of envy of poisoning the heart. Why did Krishna kick Kaliya out of Vrindavan, even though Kaliya was now a devotee? It was because of that, the enviousness, the attack on the devotee. his attempt to kill all the cows and the cowherd boys, thousands of them. Such a terrible thing. Even though Krishna accepted him as a devotee, he wouldn't let him stay. You know, we mentioned poisoning the hearts of the devotees. Maybe you've had some experience before. You've heard someone comes up to you. You know, oftentimes it's focused on the temple president. Not always, but it happens. He's a popular target sometimes. Someone walks up to you and says, "You know the temple president, don't you?" "Yes." "Oh, he's a really nice devotee." "Yes, but, and then out comes the poison. But he's like this, and he's like that. Your heart has become a little opened hearing the person say, "Oh, he's a very nice devotee," so you relax a bit. But then out comes the poison, and it may go into your heart. And you will know if it's gone into your heart when you meet the temple president or whoever the devotee is the next time. And you meet that devotee, but somehow, you know, you see the person walking in your direction and spontaneously the idea comes out, "Oh, there he is, that bad devotee. Oh, I should be careful with him." Then you know your heart's become poisoned. Yeah. So this is very dangerous in different ways. And we should avoid, of course, doing it. And if anyone approaches us and starts talking like that, we should immediately get away. Otherwise, our hearts become poisoned. And then sort of spontaneously negativity will manifest from us. So, yes. So we should beware of blasphemy. Listen to this. This is now Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion. There are different ways of dealing with such insults. If someone is heard blaspheming by words, one should be so expert that you can defeat the opposing party by argument. If you're unable to defeat the opposing party, the next step is that you do not just stand there meekly, but you give up your life. Hari Bol. If you can't do that, are you ready? Have you got your seatbelt fastened? If you can't do that, kill the blasphemer. If you can't do that, cut out his tongue. If you can't even do that, you're a bit of a failure. But anyway, this is Rupa Goswami says like this. Shri Nitai, my poor Chandra, I think it was getting a little wild for them. But if you are unable to do these things, then you must leave the place and go away. If a devotee does not follow any of these processes, the devotee falls down from his position of devotion. Yeah. So let's not be poisonous, and let's, if we encounter someone who is, let's at least get away. We'll let you off if you don't kill yourself or the horse. Probably not a good sort of PR point. But at least get away. Just get away. And if somehow you do hear some of this, you know, it's like if you stand, in front of a fire, you can't stop yourself becoming hot. You can't. You can't sort of psych yourself up. I will not become hot. I will be cool. You can't do that. If you're standing in front of a fire, you become hot. That's all there is to it. So if we hear such talk, if at least particularly if we sort of lend an ear to it and take it in, then it's just like standing in front of a fire. It'll act. And it'll contaminate you, and it can contaminate you very badly, extremely badly, even worse than you can imagine. Because we, being conditioned souls, we have sort of built into our internal systems, we still have the propensities to be attracted to such talk, you know, to be interested in such talk, and to be accepting of such talk because of our conditioned natures. So, but if somehow or other you realize, wow, I actually heard that, I lent my ear, it's gone into me, here's a suggestion what you can do. You don't necessarily have to go and tell the devotee who's being blasphemed that, oh, I heard you being talked about very badly. I mean, you could do too, but you don't have to. But you should go to the person who was being blasphemed and glorify them, appreciate them. This will help counteract the effect of the poison. Yeah. So there you go, devotees. Hare Krishna. This is the little briefly, but not too briefly, the Kaliya, it's called the Kaliya Damana Leela, the pastime of the, like, conquering or pacifying the Kaliya serpent. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Kaliya Ke. Shri Kaliya Krishna Ke. Shri Kaliya Krishna Ke. Go Premanandi. Okay. Vraj, what's the program?
We can have maybe some questions.
Okay. Any comment or question? Rupa Prabhu.
Maharaj, you mentioned that Balaram's birthday party was going on.
Yes.
Krishna wasn't there.
Yes.
And that we should think about that.
Yes.
So I had a little inkling in my heart that perhaps you would appreciate a question about that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sure, why not?
The question is, well, why?
Why? Okay. You know, the thing is, because they didn't take birthdays so seriously. I was actually reading about this. Well, yeah. I was reading about this just some days ago. I came across something that in Vedic culture, they might sit, like, if maybe every 5 years they would celebrate a birthday. The other years, you know, it would just, the time would just go on. But yeah, just some of the very significant ones, like the other day, it was Mohini's birthday, 16. So they would celebrate usually 16, then 20, then 25. And then onward, well, they only talked about those ones there. Yes, because the person's birth, what is it? You know, the person entered the world not at the time of exiting from the mother's womb, but at the time of conception. That's when the soul, you know, the whole thing started actually. Yeah. But they don't celebrate that at all. Yes. And otherwise, you know, these are all things to do with the body, and in that culture, they, you know, like the foundational point is, we are not these bodies. We're all eternal spiritual persons. So therefore, birthdays in general were not big things. So he was at home with his mother. That's where what was happening. He was at home with his mother. Yeah. Interesting. Is that okay? Anyone else? Maybe Prabhu, make a comment.
Thank you very much for your dreams. I was just as thinking of the verse in the Upadeshamrita that Srila Rupa Goswami gives the characteristics of an advanced devotee as a devotee who is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others.
Well, thank you, yes. It's in my notes, but I just sort of skipped over it. Yes, you know, when we do the actual seminar, we go more into this whole thing of what is envy and how non-enviousness is appreciated. Like Bhagavad Gita 9.1, Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, because you're never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization. And just as, you know, Shamananda Krishna Prabhu was singing this just such nice kirtan, I was reading through Prabhupada's purport, and the purports of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vijayabhushan, and they all emphasize this point that if someone is envious, then they become disqualified from bhakti. They cannot receive it. And, you know, the way it's put, well, a definition of envy is given. Envy, what is envy? To look at a person and try to analyze and search the personality of the person. And the way it's said is to search for faults, even in the midst of many good qualities. This is envy. And it's just like a sort of, what would you say? Anyway, just like a foundational type of cause for people not to be given bhakti or to not be able to accept it if someone tries to give them it. And yeah, well, the verse you were referring to from Nectar of Instruction, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who's undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Yeah. It's interesting, I mean, you pointed it out. It's interesting that Srila Rupa Goswami, he's giving a type of definition of advanced consciousness, but the only thing he mentions is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Yeah. Yeah, let me just throw a couple of other things out to you all. how to deal with someone who criticizes you. What do you think? Punch in the nose, right? Give them a what happened. We suggest take it as an opportunity to become humble. Become able to tell the difference between constructive criticism and destructive criticism. Remember that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that he who flatters me is my enemy. He who criticizes me is my friend. And you can take it as your karma. Because I criticized in the past, now it's coming back, and I'm being criticized. I am the cause of it. If I hadn't criticized previously, I wouldn't be being criticized right now. Yeah. There's some thoughts how to deal with criticism. If it happens, but it's not really if it happens, it's just when it happens. Okay, anyone else got a point to make? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.